it's very easy on Instagram to look at people's accounts and see what their cat can do. And then you look at your cat and what they can do. And really at the end of the day, it's about what you've exposed them to.
Join us as we chat to amazing cat explorers and experts. Learn from them, listen to their war stories, celebrate their wins, and laugh at the funny moments that have been a part of their journey. Welcome to the Cat Explorer podcast. I'm Asara.
And I'm Daniel.
And this is not just any normal episode of the Cat Explorer podcast. It's episode 50. And it's the first episode of season 7. And just over a month ago, the Cat Explorer podcast reached a new milestone where it was downloaded for the 25,000th time. These numbers may seem small, but in the podcasting world, that makes this small, niche, independent podcast a part of the top 30% of podcasts, which is something we never imagined when we started recording back in 2018. We're not often the best at celebrating Cat Explorer's wins, but we've learnt that we should celebrate them. So to celebrate all these milestones, we've decided to do a fun giveaway. We're giving away a Cat Explorer mug and a Cat Explorer beanie for you to use in winter to stay warm. All you need to do is review the Cat Explorer podcast, take a screenshot of your review and post it on social media, and tag us and use the hashtag CatExplorerPodcast50, that's 50, on Instagram, we're at catexplorer.community, and on Facebook, we're catexplorer. Or you could even post it in the Cat Explorer community Facebook group. And for those of you who already have a piece of Cat Explorer merchandise, like our hoodies, t-shirts, tanks, beanies, and more, you can join in another way too. Take a photo of you using your Cat Explorer merch, upload it to social media, and use the hashtag catexplorerpodcast50. Special points if you have your cat in the photo. And you can join in either way, or you can join in both ways and you'll get double the entries. Have more than one piece of Cat Explorer merchandise? Each post will be a separate entry. So remember to post your photos or videos on social media, tag us, and use the hashtag CatExplorerPodcast50 by the 10th of September 2020. The winner will be announced on the 15th of September 2020 on social media. And if you've missed any of the competition details, just hit the episode description and you'll find them there. We'd like to say a huge thank you to our producers for Season 7 of the Cat Explorer podcast. Without you, we wouldn't be able to make this podcast. So thank you to our amazing co-producers, Roxy the Kitty, Ziggy and Charlie, Luna Misty Blue, Adami, Mac, Patch and Ava, and Bowie the Siberian. Thank you so much for your support. We really, really do appreciate it. And if you'd like to... And if you love what we do and you'd love to support Cat Explorer, feel free to check out If you love Cat Explorer and what we do, feel free to support us by joining the Purse Squad. You can find the details on how to do that in the episode description on your podcasting app.
Today's Cat Explorer explores the urban jungle that is Toronto. On top of that, Gibson is such a pro with clicker training. We're so excited to chat to his mum, Sarah, about cat exploring and clicker training. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. We'd love to hear about Gibson. How did he come into your life?
So it had been a few months since losing our previous cat, Miso, and we were in the middle of cat sitting just to cope with that loss because we weren't yet ready for another cat to come into our lives. And so one evening, my husband and I were at a burger joint and we came across his photo online, and totally unprepared, we decided to go and pick him up at 11 p.m. at night. And we actually had to pay $20 to the person that we got him from to borrow the crate because they didn't feel comfortable just giving Gibson to us, like, and letting him, you know, free range in the car. So we actually ended up not even using the crate because he was more restless inside the crate, I noticed. So we kind of, from that point, we actually noticed that he would be up for this kind of cat exploring life, because we realized that he would rather just watch the world go by than to be contained in a crate.
Oh, wow. That's lovely. And it does sound like he was perfect from the get-go for that sort of life. And can you tell us a little bit more about him then?
Sure. He is absolutely easily adaptable to new environments. He's a super quick learner. And so obviously he's very easily trainable. He loves the company of other people, but lately has been super suspicious about the person who's from like 5 to 50 feet away for some reason. So if we're in a trail and we're exploring, he'll get down and he'll pancake down and he'll just wait for that person to be out of sight or pass by. But he loves being around people. He does love the company of others when, you know, we're in a contained setting like the house or something like that. He's super social in that he's really the only cat that I know who actually enjoys meeting other cats. So he never has once hissed or growled at another cat when meeting them. And if, you know, another cat will hiss or growl at him, he tends to just give them the space that they need. And with the ladies, he tends to respect them a lot more than the male cats. It's kind of funny to watch. With the males, he tends to want to rough and tough with them. He'll get to their nose, he'll smell them out. And if they growl or hiss at them, then he'll end up leaving them alone. But he definitely respects the ladies more than he does the male cats. It's kind of funny to watch.
What a gentleman. So what kind of cat exploring do you and Gibson do?
Often we explore around our neighborhood. We live in a beach area, so we do go to the beach. We enjoy going to the green spaces like parks or ravines or creeks. And most often we end up in a neighbor's front lawn, just smelling the different smells that are there. Pre-COVID, we did go to pet-friendly stores like Canadian Tire, Marshall's, Winners, HomeSense. We took public transit over to friends' places for play dates and went for coffee and ice cream dates on pet-friendly patios. We do have plans this summer to hopefully take him camping or canoeing, but we'll see what the foreseeable future is.
So from the sounds of things, you do a lot of exploring in urban areas, and urban areas are usually quite noisy and busy. How did you train Gibson to get used to these sounds and get used to the businesses within urban areas?
Right. So a lot of what Gibson has come to be okay with has to do with his personality. That being said, I would say that exposure and positive learning has enabled him to explore the urban area we live in with confidence. When we started out, I didn't want to overwhelm Gibson because a city can be quite overstimulating for a cat. So introducing everything at once, I feel, would have resulted in a negative experience. And so to keep things positive, I would only focus on one thing for him to be learning at a time. I wanted him to see the world slowly, but as smoothly and naturally as possible, if that makes any sense. So with noisy traffic, for example, I knew that he would have to build up a tolerance to it, as we live on a fairly busy street with, you know, trucks going by, motorcycles going by frequently on a daily basis. So on his first day out, I took him in a carrier and exposed him to that noise in a way where I could be there for him, and he could observe the traffic for short periods of time consistently throughout the day daily. Cat exploring does take a lot of work. You do have to be patient, as you know, and everybody listening on the podcast. So I did have a blanket where he could hide under in case he got spooked from the noise. So I tried to make it as, again, comfortable and positive for him. During this time, I focused on getting used to the traffic only until his reactions from it were more calm. Once he was used to that, I would move on to the next thing. And for Gibson, the next thing was creating actually a safe space. So before we could actually find a harness that fit him properly, I would spend every day with him on the porch, giving him treats and just being with him as he kind of explored the new smells on the porch. I did this because once he was on the harness, I wanted him to be able to go somewhere that he felt safe. So once he was harness trained inside and he was mildly reactive to traffic and he had a safe place, we were ready to go on adventures beyond our front yard.
That's a great approach, just doing baby steps. And I think everyone, like, we all tend to see those cat explorers on Instagram who are doing these amazing things, but what we need to remember is it all started with those baby steps right at the beginning. I wanted to circle back to something that you mentioned. We are recording this in May 2020, so we're right in the middle of self-isolation or whatever you want to call it because of COVID-19. But you did mention that you go to a lot of pet-friendly, cat-friendly stores and indoor locations. How do you go about finding a lot of those places and knowing that they're cat-friendly?
Anytime I go to a store where I think that I might be able to bring Gibson, I will approach management and I'll just mention that I do have a cat and I would like to practice bringing him out more so in the winter months and obviously throughout the year, just being able to bring him as we run errands every day and practice his time in stores. So I'll get the answers straight from the horse's mouth, as they say, and I will ask we are permitted to bring him into a store. And so often the rule of thumb here in Toronto is that if there's no food around, it's pet friendly. So with stores like Winners, there are aisles with food and they are permitted to go in the store. They just have to avoid those aisles, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that's a really good point because I wouldn't have thought of stores that have food in them. So that's a really good idea. And like, for example, here in Australia, we've got a home improvement store called Bunnings, but they have cafes in there. So like what you would do is just make sure that if you're going to go to the cafe with your cat, make sure they're cat friendly as well. We also find that when we do approach management, we will say something along the lines of, we have well-behaved cats who are harness trained. They'll be on a leash. Most likely going to spend most of the time in their backpack. Are they allowed to come in? And I think that kind of helps them feel a little bit better. And if they still seem a bit, if they've got a lot of dogs there, we might just say, we'll stay away from the dogs so that you don't have an incident. Because we just need to remember that those businesses, they're businesses that, after all, they don't want their other patrons to be disadvantaged because you brought your cat there and you end up with a cat fight or something like that. So I think it's something to bear in mind.
Yeah, it's got to work for everyone, and you know, everyone wants to have a good time.
Right. And I think as we're, although it's a big community, I think we're still new to a lot of people. So initially my reaction to someone who tells me that they're pet friendly, but my cat can't come, initially I get my guard up and I just want to say, well, why not? Why can't that happen? But I think if we approach it, like you say, by just educating people and letting them know, hey, I have a cat that is actually able to adapt in a lot of different kinds of environments, that has actually been to the Pet Expo with thousands of dogs around him and has remained calm, then I actually start to see their tone shift in being able to accommodate Gibson. So I actually had this experience with someone at a patio down by the beaches, and I did want to kind of just question their authority and their, you know, their ability to say that my child is not welcome in their space, basically. But when we backtrack and we remember that not all people see cats the way we might see them, then I think that we take that different approach and the reactions are a lot more understanding to accommodating him. So the next time we go to this patio, I have informed them, I said, you know, if we call you ahead of time, because that's a very good point too. If we call you ahead of time, we let you know that we're coming and you seat us in a corner where we can kind of control any reactive dogs that might scare off any patrons, then is it possible for me to bring him? And then they were just totally like, yeah, for sure, that works. We can do that. And I just mentioned to them, if it does get out of control, we are willing to leave.
And I think another way that people can approach it, and this is for businesses that are active on Instagram, if you've got an Instagram for your cat, it's actually quite useful just Instagramming them via your cat's account, because then they can just be like, because usually the first response is, what are they talking about? And they might go in and check your account and then be like, oh, this is something they do all the time. Another thing I did want to mention that I know I for a very long time, I was very naive about this, is that a lot of people have cat allergies. So to put it into perspective, Daniel obviously has a cat allergy, but our sister-in-law who loves Lumos and Oxy, unfortunately can't even sit next to Daniel and I at dinner sometimes if we've worn something that we haven't washed recently and has cat fur on it, because she will just be crying and unable to breathe. So There are some people who have cat allergies that are that bad that they just can't be around a cat. So it's something that we just need to remember as well. Maybe there's another patron at the business or the patio, or even the manager might be allergic to cats. So that's just something to remember.
And Sarah, I love what you pointed out about how you approached management and how you explained it, because you came to them with solutions and possibilities as how you could implement it. So it's not just about asking them, can we do this, and then waiting for them to sort of come up with the idea or solution of, because they'll probably go, I've never had a cat in my business before. How do I make this work? How, you know, what do I need to do to make it happen? Whereas if you tell them, you can do this, you can do that, and then they can sort of then go through those options and see what works for them and understand how it can be implemented, it makes their job a lot easier. It's about lowering that barrier to entry and making it really a non-issue for them. Like, so it's not very hard to implement, doesn't impose on them in any way, but it'll, you know, get them some, you know, a better appreciation of what we do and how we approach things, and what, and you know, it gives us a great time as well. So I think that's a great point that you make. Now, you also mentioned before about the exploring that you do in the urban environment, and you talked about public transport. Can you talk us a little bit about Gibson and public transport?
Sure. So when I first started cat exploring, Gibson was, he took to the car really quickly. So he was comfortable in a vehicle right away. So I waited a few months before introducing him to the bus and the subway, because I wanted to make sure that his reactions to obviously the traffic and the noise of trucks and transports and even fire trucks and ambulances would not make him panic. Once he was okay with all of that, I was confident that he could undertake something like going on the subway, because when you go on the subway, it squeaks a lot. It makes loud noises. Obviously, it's underground, so there's no way for him to escape, because I feel like cats like to know that they can go somewhere to hide if they're panicking. So it obviously also helped for him to be comfortable in his backpack. We needed time for him to be okay with other things before going on to that big journey. And I'll admit, I was really nervous about the subway, because it had been something that I never heard anyone else do. I'm sure there are people out there that do that, but I wasn't connected with anyone in the community that had tried it before. So I was basically going on territory that I knew nothing about, yet I was confident in his behaviors and personality and abilities that he would find a way to work it out and hide in the backpack if he needed to. And it ended up going perfect. There was no issues. He was on the bus. He was actually pulling me because he wanted to go and see everyone who was on the bus. And when we got to the subway and the streetcar, it was as if he had done it every day.
That's so awesome. Just for terminology's sake, because I think everyone calls a subway a different thing. Is that like a train, or is that like a tram? A streetcar is a tram. Or yes. Is that
a streetcar is a tram. And then the subway is the underground. So
like a train, I suppose. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because I think everyone uses different terminology there. That's really interesting, because I would have imagined they'd be quite screechy. So he must have done really well with the noise.
He did, for sure.
I just want to remind everyone that to check your local regulations and rules if you are considering this, because it does differ from state to state or region to region.
Yeah, definitely. Even potentially within Canada as well. Like, for example, in Australia, in Sydney, you can take your cat on a ferry, but you have to get permission from the captain. We're yet to do this because I still can't figure out how to get to the captain before getting on the boat with your cat. I haven't quite understood the logic there, but they might just check with your local transit authority and they'll be able to give you some details. You might have to explain to them once again that your cat is harness trained and well behaved and all that stuff as well. But
so you've actually met up with a few cat explorers recently. How did you go about organizing that, and how did all the kitties react?
Right. So another local cat explorer, her Instagram handle is Life with Lou the Cat. We often get together for exploring beyond the house. And so Lou's guardian, Jen, had discovered this brewery called Black Lab Brewery that is pet friendly. Primarily dogs go there. And to my knowledge, cats never had entered in that brewery. And so I think a good point to make is that pet friendly doesn't always mean that cats are included in that. And so we actually confronted them and just made sure that they were okay with this before we stepped in. And we found that they were super accommodating in welcoming our cats to come and hang. After confirming that they were welcome, Jen had invited theoretically Teddy and I to join her and her cat Lou, along with some friends with dogs, to hang out at this brewery one night. And so that night we ended up speaking to management and telling them about the Cat Explorer community and presented them with this idea of a Cat Explorer gathering. And surprisingly, they weren't really shocked. They actually were excited, which was such a great reaction to get from someone, because most often we're sitting here educating people and confirming them that it's going to be a fun gathering, that it's not going to be a bunch of cats tearing each other apart. And honestly, they were prepared for whatever was to happen, regardless of that happening or not. So we worked out this gathering would be best on one of their less busier nights, since they wouldn't have as many dogs that would be around to frighten the cats. And the staff had also let guardians know at the door that many cats were there that night. And if they did have dogs that were reactive to the cats, they were advised to maybe come back for another night. So they were fully able and willing to accommodate us all, which is really helpful. They had sectioned off an area for all the cats to hang out in that had a gate, so that if dogs were there, they couldn't enter through that gate. And we honestly had such a good night. Most of all of us cat parents were so anxious about this happening, because who knows in this world how 11 cats will react in one tight space together. I haven't really heard that happening. So we were all very anxious, but it ended up being good until we decided to take that Instagram worthy group photo. And I won't name any names, but one cat decided to jump off because they were too close for comfort and jumped on top of a table and then ended up breaking a glass. So it's funny because the staff was joking when we entered, and the staff was just saying, "I'm just waiting for something to break." And I was like, "Nothing's will break. Come on, have faith in us." And at the end of the night, before we were all about to leave, one glass broke, but they were so happy to clean it up and help us. But we were thankful that that happened at the end of the night, because as funny as it is, all the glass had shattered over the floor and they didn't do a fantastic job in cleaning it up. So we were all terrified of glass possibly getting in their paws. And that kind of ended the night, but it was kind of perfect to go out with a bang. And it was nice to know that they were so willing to help us clean up, and they actually welcomed us back again.
Wow. I just have to say, like, they really, do you mind actually mentioning who they are again for everyone in Toronto?
Yeah, so they're the Black Lab Brewery.
Because they did such an amazing job of it, like, making you guys feel welcome. Like, so I usually find that craft breweries are really open to cat explorers. Like, we've been to a couple, and usually I'll, like, because you some of the ones that we've been to, they'll have a door person. I'll go up and I'll be like, "So we have something weird. We've got cats. Are you okay with us coming in?" But it's amazing how they actually had a gate up for you. I love that they were telling the patrons who had dogs that there were cats there and stuff like that. That's amazing. Because to put it into perspective, usually when we have organized events for cat explorers, we've actually taken out insurance, and talking to the insurance company and trying to explain what's going on is quite hilarious. So, like, it's amazing how they did such a good job to help you guys, and I think they should be celebrated for that.
So I want to take it back to the beginning, which you mentioned in parts already. So you talked about how Gibson had the temperament that, you know, just screamed cat explorer and is just a natural pro. And you also talked about how you were on the porch a little bit and sort of just letting him get used to the sounds and sniff around. But can you also fill in the other steps in terms of how did you start training Gibson to be a cat explorer?
A lot of my answer does circle back to that question in exposing him to things very slowly, but also letting him choose for most of our exploring where to go and what to see and what to do, because this was more of an adventure that was for him. And I was kind of tagging along. So it kind of circles back to being, you know, a positive experience for him, especially in the beginning, and just letting him figure out the world for himself. Now, as we have evolved in our exploring, we kind of have a 50-50 agreement, whereas like I'll let him lead 50% of the time and then I'll lead the other 50% of the time, because I've talked to lots of cat explorers and we all, I think, feel the same way in that if we were letting them explore the majority of the time, we'd probably end up just at our front yard smelling that tree for, you know, 3 hours, because that's what they like to do. And they like to observe people going by. They like to do a lot of just hanging out at people's front yards. So some days we'll have a schedule and we'll follow that schedule, and he'll be on the backpack or in the backpack coming along the journey. And then other days will be completely for him and we have no schedule and we'll go to a park and I'll let him decide 100% of the time. So I think it's all about balance.
I love the point you make about the balance, because it's as much as you want to say it's for the cat and, you know, for their enrichment, also sometimes from the practicality perspective, like you mentioned, you just want to be able to take them with you if you need to run an errand, like, and it's still enriching for them, but yeah, it's a little self-serving as well to try and run an errand, but they'll get out and about, they'll get to, you know, smell, you know, fresh air outside and see a few things that they would normally see, get a car ride out of it, and that helps you to get your errand done. Great. There's other times where, I know, for example, Sarah's taken the cats on a walk and she sat next to a bush for half an hour while Noxie eats the bush and sniffs around in it. And, you know, that's definitely that for them. Like, no one, I don't think any adult necessarily wants to just sit next to a bush for half an hour. But so it is a balance and it's a little bit of give and take. And ultimately it is about their enrichment. And baby steps is the way to go, definitely. Like, it doesn't happen overnight, and you do need to find what they like and what they enjoy and allow them to lead you to an extent. Because, yeah, we've tried things that haven't worked out, and we're going, okay, they don't necessarily love that. And, yeah, we've tried things and then gone, yeah, this is their thing. They really love it. So you just have to find that and take it slow and steady.
Right. I think realizing a cat is just not a dog will help you to explore with a cat. And people will often ask me, well, does he walk like a dog? And my response is always, well, he's not a dog, so definitely doesn't walk like a dog. And it's just, it's foreign to people and they want to know more. And I love that they want to know more. So often we have these conversations with people just sharing, you know, about this exact question, letting them know the steps that it took to get to where we are. And that it didn't just happen overnight. So I think that it's very easy on Instagram to look at people's accounts and see what their cat can do. And then you look at your cat and what they can do. And really at the end of the day, it's about what you've exposed them to. Because sometimes I'll see a cat that lives on a boat and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would really love to bring my cat on a boat. Like, I would love to see what they would do. I'd love to see if he would be okay for that kind of life, right? And I can very easily get discouraged if I bring him on a boat and he ends up hating it. But the reality is that he's been raised in the city. So the city is actually what's comforting for him. And I was just telling Zeddy Cat the other day, we were talking about this thing where I went to a trail and often most cat explorers will be like, my cat loves a quiet trail. This is amazing. We need to be in quiet spaces. But Gibson actually finds comfort in the traffic. He finds comfort in the noise. So when it's quiet, I feel like he's skeptical, about the things that might be hiding behind the bushes or the trees or that noise far off into the distance that he can't actually see. So the other day we went into a trail and a train came by, but he couldn't see where it was. So it scared him, but a train can go by 2 meters in front of him and he'll sit there and not react at all. So it's just funny, you know, in terms of what you expose them to and what they're okay with because of that exposure.
That's so true. And their personalities as well. Like I think we expose Lumos and Noxy to the same things because we take them to the same places, but Lumos would much prefer to go to a cafe and go up and say hi to everyone. Whereas for Noxy, she would much prefer to be on a hiking trail. And that, I think, maybe this is because it's Daniel's least favorite thing to do as well, but Lumos would hate to do that too. So like, I think it's also just depends on their personalities as well. So you and Gibson spend a lot of time working in clicker training. What kind of behaviors can Gibson do?
So Gibson can sit, he can lay down, roll over to the left and to the right. He can give a high and a low five, both with the left paw, the right paw, and both paws. He does give fist bumps with the left paw and the right paw. He also knows a good stay. We need to get a little bit better with our stay, but he can stay. And often he trains through my hands. So it's not words for him, but it's hand motion. So his stay is one finger up and he's getting really good with doing it for longer periods of time, which is what we're working on. He can give kisses. He does the meerkat or he sits pretty. He can jump to me from any surface to my arms, back or feet. He'll jump through my arms. He'll jump over and crawl through obstacles. He does what we call the trust jump, which is my favorite trick of his, because it just shows that he trusts me completely. And so what it is he will be on the floor and he'll have to fully rely on me to catch him. So he'll make a trilling sound and he'll kind of like warn me that he's about to come up, and we communicate and kind of work together in me catching him. So that's my favorite trick of his. He'll follow a target stick wherever I put it, which is really, really helpful in training. And if you follow Cat School, that's one of the beginning tricks that you learn. Ringing a bell, he'll ring a bell for treats for sure. He does spin. So I'll make a circling motion and he'll do a spin for me. He weaves through my legs. He does skateboard, which is one of his favorite tricks. He honestly, if I get the skateboard out, he won't listen to a stay. So he'll beeline it for the skateboard and he'll want to be on it. I don't know what it is about the skateboard, but it's one of his best and favorite tricks and he'll do it all day if he could, which is really great because we do eventually want to take the skateboard outside to make cat exploring a lot easier. So I want to tie a string on the skateboard and kind of just like drag him along when we go to the beach or different areas to make things a little bit easier, because not always does a cat follow you when they walk. He perches on objects. So if I have something, he'll put his two paws on the object and perch up on it. He does toe taps. And right now we are trying to learn how to cop-cop, which is putting his paws on my feet and then walking with me. So that's what he knows.
That's an impressive list. And I've got to say, like, having clicker trained the two of my cats, like, you get so proud watching them pick it up and do it. And I can't just imagine how proud you are being able to go through all those behaviors and going, yep, they can do all of those things.
Yeah, and it really is so fun to be able to kind of like mix all these tricks together and come up with kind of new tricks. So it really helps to know other tricks and introduce more from mm-hmm. what he already knows.
And I just wanted to point out that he can do both paws on those paw tricks, because a lot of cats are just like humans. They favor a certain paw. So for example, Daniel has been working with Noxie to do, like, to try and encourage her to use a different paw to ring the bell. And she literally will move the bell to the right paw and then start ringing.
Reorientate her body so that she can get into the right position to ring it with her favorite paw.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, we're right hand or left hand dominant. So it makes sense that, you know, there is a preferred paw that they would like to do. But it's great when they're flexible with using one or the other. It was challenging for us for me to teach that to him. It took him a few days, and for Gibson, that's a longer time. He honestly, again, this is like part of his personality. He's a very quick learner. From the question earlier you asked about, you know, more about Gibson, and he is really a quick learner and will pick things up quite fast.
So talking about learning, how did you get started with clicker training?
Actually, Julie from Cat School is Gibson's cat teacher, and she's actually local. So we ended up meeting just for a Cat Explorer hang with no intention to talk about, you know, anything Cat School related. It was really just a meetup to walk our cats together. And before heading home at the very end of our hangout, I asked if I could just purchase a clicker from her directly rather than order it online. So she took it out and we got talking a little bit about training with cats, and she literally taught Gibson to give her a high five outside with all the distractions in under 5 minutes. So my jaw just dropped. I was hooked. And honestly, Julie's so humble in what she knows, because I was blown away by what she had just taught Gibson to do. And she just smiled politely and gave Gibson most of the credit. So honestly, I love Julie. She's great. If anyone is considering training their cat, I would highly recommend looking at Cat School. And, you know, she's just been working hard to put all these YouTube videos together, even which I didn't have at the start. And it really helps for troubleshooting different tricks, because she sometimes will have a section at the end of her video where if your cat is having a hard time learning something, she'll show other options in how to teach them that trick.
Yeah, and she's also been great in terms of she's a great person to reach out to if you're stuck with something as well. So I've had many moments when I've been, for example, Lumos and Oxy have done some very minor TV work or something like that, and I've literally messaged her the night before gone, oh no, this is going to happen tomorrow, what do I do? And she'll just give me a whole heap of ideas and things like that. So and I definitely recommend her course, because we started clicker training when we first got Lumos and Noxie. I didn't know about Cat School or anything, but we'd heard about clicker training for dogs. So we were like, let's try this for cats. And we were doing it all wrong. Like, we had the clicker, but I didn't understand that you give the treat and then click. Now in hindsight, it's just so obvious. They do the treat, you click, and then you give the treat. It just makes sense. But at the time, it was like, I didn't even know what we were doing with that clicker.
It just helps to simplify everything.
Yeah.
And like, it sort of gives you the step-by-step process, and, you know, you can understand the theory, but if you have the steps out of order, it doesn't work as well.
That's right. I the other day, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the other day I was just looking at a video from my previous cat, Miso, and I remember years ago I had heard about Cat School, but I didn't get into it. I didn't have an Instagram for Miso at all. I kind of just saw it and I was like, I'm going to try this. So I remember clicking with my mouth. I was like clicking with my mouth and exactly at the wrong time. And like, poor Miso, I had this expectation for him to like learn something, and he just wasn't getting it. And now I completely understand why. Julie has this mind where, you know, she can troubleshoot something for you if you're having like a frustrating time, or you're worried about them not being able to learn. She can just think of a solution really quickly. And I think her mind is just so able to work that way as it's just geared towards an animal behaviorist, right? So it's great to have her and to have, you know, the online class so that if you do have questions, you can go online, you can connect with the community she's built as well, and you can, you know, troubleshoot with her and with other people that are going through the same things.
You mentioned before that you taught Gibson to pick up on the nonverbal cues. Was that a conscious decision? And how did you teach him to learn to do that?
So my profession is actually that I'm a registered early childhood educator. So I work with kids and kids' behaviors as well. And I'm not saying that cats are like kids, but there's a lot of different things that work in my profession that can work with Gibson. And so I always pair the word with my hands so that Gibson can make the choice as to react to one or the other. So I didn't do it on purpose. He actually responds, he's chosen to respond better to my hands. And so that's how that kind of happened. And his only trick that I feel like he knows with words is actually kisses.
Yeah, I can see that being a challenge. Like, how do you?
Well, yeah, it was really hard to teach him that. And I was getting frustrated because I'm like, why aren't you understanding it? And he just picked up more so on the word than the hands. And it was the one thing that he was able to connect with the word rather than, you know, the hand gesture.
Interesting that you say that. And I suppose the words and the nonverbal cues, all they are cues for them to do the tricks. And I actually have now, thinking back, found that with Noxie, for example, like sometimes I forget to say low five and then I stick my hand out for the low five and she'll do it anyway because she knows she's been conditioned for it. And sometimes, you know, with the weave, I'll point the target stick without actually saying the words we normally use to weave, and then Lumos will go through regardless because he's been trained now. But yeah, it's for us, it's probably not as clear in that sometimes I do forget and he won't do it, or sometimes I say it and then that's what makes it happen. So it's just all there, I suppose, to allow them to perform that trick and get the cue from us.
And I found it really interesting what you said about, like, yes, children are not cats, like there are some ways that they do learn similarly as well. Like, for example, with everything that's going on with COVID, we've been doing a lot of suggestions on what you can do with your cat while you're at home. And my friend who's got a one-year-old actually messaged me. She's like, I'm actually copying your ideas for my one-year-old. So there are with dogs and cats. They are very different, but there are areas where they can interlink. So one thing I really did want to ask you about was, do you use clicker training while you're cat exploring?
We do. We have a few times, and we've noticed that the stay that he knows is actually really helpful when, you know, we are going somewhere and he's on the backpack and we need to be at point B by a certain time. And sometimes he'll pull to get off because he sees something or he wants to smell something. And so if I tell him to stay and I put that one finger up, he will often listen, but not always will he, because it can be hard beyond the house for them to respond to training because there is so much going on. And we are trying to get better with that because now that it's warmer, we're able to be outside more often. And sometimes we'll go to, we have a couple of photos of us at Canadian Tire, our local tire store, and we went there purposely because we wanted to practice this skill beyond the house. And so we were in the middle of this area where people were walking up to go to the store on the escalator, people were going through the doors to go to another store, so there was lots of stuff going on around us, and he was able to do his tricks quite well, and I was pretty impressed. So I think this summer, it's going to be one of our goals to be able to work on that more outside so that I can condition him to learn better as we are exploring. So we're working on it.
So, Sarah, we're coming up towards the end of the podcast, but before we let you go, we're going to go through our final four questions, with the first one being, what is one piece of advice you would give to new cat explorers?
Honestly, have fun. The last thing that you want to do while being out is to put pressure on yourself and your cat by looking at other cat exploring accounts and wanting your cat to be like them. I would say always make every effort to let your time together be positive, because I do feel that cats are great at remembering and holding on to negative experiences, which might render them fearful of certain circumstances and situations as you explore outside. And the final would be just listen to your cat and enjoy seeing the world through their lens.
What's been the most entertaining comment someone has said to you while you've been out and about with Gibson?
So somebody actually had barked at us once, and I think they were trying to imply that Gibson was basically a puppy cat, and it just caught me off guard, and it's never happened to me before, and nothing else was said beyond that point, but they just, you know, started barking at Gibson, and I just kind of gave him this look, and they just kept walking by, and no explanation was given, and to be honest, none was needed. We both separated and went our different ways, and I had to laugh about it, but I think it was one of the most odd things that happened.
That is a tad odd. What cat explorers inspire you?
There are so many, but I decided to answer this one by focusing on accounts that have helped us to begin where we are now. So in the exploring aspect, Cash Me Outside was actually the first account that we ended up reaching out and asking about harnesses and how to begin cat exploring. So before we even had Gibson, we just started talking to her about where to start. And we still have maintained our relationship throughout all this time. And we just love their account. So Cash Me Outside is one. For training, obviously Cat School, we don't need to go beyond that, because we've already talked a lot about her tonight. Zeddy Cat is also near and dear to us because we actually met at the Pet Expo, and Zeddy's mom actually encouraged us to get involved with the same agent that they have for potential jobs in the future with TV commercials or movies. So we haven't yet had any jobs, but we have done, you know, the photo shoot and the meet with her agent as well, in hopes that Gibson will get involved with the same stuff that Zeddy Cat does. We're very grateful for her. Two more. My Trail Buddy has been there for us as we navigate the decision we've made about feeding Gibson on raw. And so there's not a lot of information out there. And for us, building community throughout all of this is what helps us to learn what we know to this day. And so we love My Trail Buddy for lots of reasons, that being one of the biggest ones. And in the near future, they do have really, really big, amazing, awesome plans. And they have a journey that they'll reveal soon to the Instagram world that I think everybody will just be excited to watch. And finally, Adam Chester, so ADM Chester, is just one of those counts that have been so special for me, because my cat previous to Gibson, Miso, had a really hard time being outside of the house. And Chester is just one of those cats that needs a lot of time to explore. And his mom has just done so well in listening to Chester, taking the time to explore at his pace. And I think that, you know, it's been inspirational to watch Chester grow. And soon enough, Chester will be that cat that, you know, everybody says, my cat's not able to do this. Chester can stand for cats that have had that struggle and that hard time in learning.
And he's come so far with his journey with his teeth as well, which is no small feat, because he's had a few teeth challenges as well.
Right.
What product, service, or program has been a game changer for Gibson?
So the product that we really love is our backpack, and we honestly never leave the house without it. Even if we're just going for a small adventure around the neighborhood, we always decide to bring it with us, just because if ever there was an emergency situation where perhaps he was attacked by a dog or he did get spooked by something, he has a consistent safe space that we actually just wear upon our back. So we love our backpack. And without it, I don't think I would feel safe in navigating the city with Gibson. And then obviously you guys have just been so instrumental in being able to build a community that has like-minded people that are going through exploring outside beyond the house with a cat. And without you, we wouldn't have been easily led to other accounts that have been a huge support for us, like all the ones that we just previously mentioned. So we're just really grateful for you guys and for all the work that you guys continue to do. You are pioneers. So it's awesome what you're doing. And, you know, it's great that you're continuing to give us resources through this podcast and everything that you do.
Thanks. That's a really lovely thing to say. We've loved chatting with you today, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find you and Gibson online?
So Gibson has an Instagram and a TikTok account. So you can find him at the Gibson Chronicles on both of those social medias. And we do also have a blog that we recently started, which is also the same as his Instagram handle. It's www.thegibsonchronicles.com. And in that, we just do a couple of different reviews. We talk about cat training and we talk about cat exploring.
Awesome. So what we'll do is so that everyone can find those links, we'll put those and a summary of today's conversation in the show notes. So just go to the episode description in your podcast app and the link will be there.
We would love to hear what you think of today's episode. So take a screenshot on your phone or a photo of what you're doing and upload it to your socials. Tag Cat Explorer at catexplorer.community and Gibson and Sarah at the Gibson Chronicles and let us know what you think. Thank you so much for being a part of the Cat Explorer community. That's it for today. We'll catch you next time. In the meantime, enjoy giving your kitty the world.